Hey guys, welcome back to Andy's podcast. I don't have a name for it, so I'm going to call it Andy's podcast until I come up with a classy name. I have Miss Imogen here as my guest again today.
Hi.
Hi. Fancy meeting you here.
I know. Who would have thought?
Do you want to fuck?
I mean, at some point, yes.
Ooh, see, boys, that's how you do a pickup. I got sick game. So this episode we will continue. It's part two of the previous one that we did. We had a question by a young gentleman or woman named John. We don't know its gender. And he asked about dick size and stuff like that. We got two-thirds of the way through. We'll finish it off now.
I guess, but before we get into that, did you want to share your fun tidbit?
Yes. So we are going to share. We're going to share a fun tidbit every episode, what we've been up to or some story or something interesting. I ate KFC.
I know. And
it was fucking majestic.
And what do you usually eat?
So I'm on keto diet or like carnivore. I eat pretty much only meat, just like you. And was it yesterday or the day before? Doesn't matter. I was like, I need some fucking KFC, all right? And you, like a good soldier, were like, I'll get you some KFC. No worries. Let's go to KFC. And it was like, that was the first time I had KFC in how long?
You haven't cheated.
I haven't cheated on this bloody diet for like forever. Not this really a cheat. I just like eating keto. I'm not on a diet. But like, holy shit, it was majestic. It was like everything I thought it would be and then times a million. It was like, if you guys, no matter where you're at in life, I want you to go out right now to the nearest KFC and just order everything on the menu and then tell me that's not like the, like that, you could kill yourself after that. Like you could end your life on a high note. Like what else do you have to look forward to after that meal? Like, just trust me. KFC did not pay for this. I wish they would.
You very much changed your tune since you've like born and bred Hungry Jacks.
Yeah, I also like Hungry Jacks. So for all you weird people who aren't in my country, you guys call that Burger King and we call that Hungry Jacks because, I don't know, we're autistic or something. So let's pick up where we left off. We were talking about, I tell you what, I'll reread the question from John just really quickly so people know where we're at. If you haven't gone and listened to the previous podcast, go listen to it because none of this will make any sense, just like most of what I say. So John asked, he sent me an email and he said, could you spare a minute or two of the podcast talking about dick size? Yes, cringy, I know, but it is an insecurity for men similar to height or hair or muscles, etc. Does one absolutely have to be hung 8 inches or more to be considered good at sex and give women decent pleasure? Or can the average 6-incher do the job? Of course, different women have different preferences, but I still want your opinion. So in the previous podcast, for the first part, we covered like how to have fun sex, how to write a sexual bucket list, whether or not dick size matters. And obviously we said, no, it doesn't. Then we went on to talk about like how to actually have fun with women, different things you can try, trying a magic wand, dirty talking during sex and all that sort of stuff. We will now go on to talk about like the actual insecurity that comes from dick size, like an insecurity in general. Is there something you would like to say?
No, I think that pretty much covers that was a good recap of everything.
That was a great recap. I'm so professional at this shit. It's like my fourth podcast and it should really be my 80th because I'm so good.
Well done.
You make me feel very good about myself. So the first thing I want to talk about is like insecurity as a topic. And this is going to sound really dumb. I think I've told you this before. Like the number of guys that say to me like they'll come on like a coaching call with me. And I will say something along the lines of like, don't worry about your insecurities. Like they'll get better over time. I'm insecure about a million things. And they're like, they're confused by that. And they're like, why are you insecure? Like you're insecure. And I say like, yeah, of course I'm insecure. I'm a human being. And they'll be like, but like you've had lots of sex. Like why would you be insecure? It's like, I think one of the problems with insecurity is that you get very like neurotic and in your own head and you think that your insecurities are just yours alone and that no one else is going through these battles. Girls do the same thing. Pretty much everyone who's insecure and neurotic does. You think like you're more insecure than anyone else in the whole world and you're the biggest like mess in the whole world and nobody else could ever compete with your like fucked upness.
Yeah, like you're the best at being the worst.
Yeah, you're like, and it's a form of arrogance. I've made this point many times. You've heard me say this point many times. When people who are like super insecure, they're just really super arrogant. And that might seem like a weird concept, but if you literally think you're more fucked up than anyone else in the world, that's arrogance. If you think you're like a special case, like I'm the most insecure, that's like pure arrogance.
Yeah, I think it comes like from, I mean, you hear it a lot, like when, you know, you go through high school, like because you care so much about what other people think of you, but
yeah.
No one's thinking about you because they're all worried about what other people are thinking about them. Like,
yeah. I told you that story about my dad. Mm. Well, I must have told.
You told me many stories about your dad.
Yeah, I know, right? So it was when I was like super neurotic, like when I was super depressed,
mm-hmm.
when I was like 23 or something. Mm-hmm. And I used to be like really paranoid that everyone was like looking at me and talking about me when I was in public. Like I was a fucking mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally told my parents about it. And my dad and I were sitting at a restaurant. And I said to him, Dad, everyone's like judging me. And he looked around and then he said to me, and my dad never swears. And he said in the most serious voice, he said, Andrew, which is what he calls me when he's being serious. Andrew, nobody gives a shit about you. They're all too busy with their own lives. And I think that's an important point. And that's one that we're going to dive into. I mean, we can dive into it now, that girls, for the most part, have all of their own insecurities, probably more than most guys. And so when you're sitting there, we'll tie this into dick size, which was the original question. If you're sitting there thinking like, oh, my dick is too small, or I'm not good at pleasing a woman, or I don't know what I'm doing. Like she's sitting there thinking a million of her own insecurities. Like my tits are small. Does he like me? Does he think I'm fat? Am I doing a good job? Like what if he thinks my nose is ugly? Like, you know, I bet he slept with prettier girls. I bet I'll do a bad job.
Mm-hmm.
Like in your experience, mm-hmm. like you as a woman and also your friends and also the other girls that we've slept with and, you know, the girls that we've talked to and stuff, how would you rate most girls' insecurity? Like, do you think they are more insecure than guys, as insecure or less insecure? Just in terms of sexual stuff.
I think in terms of sexuality, I would say that from every girl that I've met, and obviously I have a higher sample size of like speaking to more girls, but
yes,
all of them have a lot of insecurities around sex. And I think a lot of them stem from physical appearance rather than sex itself.
Yes. Which is what we're talking about. We're talking about guys being insecure about dick size. So we are like literally, yeah. I guess we're talking about performance a little bit too, but mostly appearance. Yeah. Go on.
But no, yeah, I think I've found that all of the girls I've spoken to, all of my friends, they have like a giant long list of huge insecurities. And then like even particularly girls that we've seen together, I think that when you've even gone and told them that I have insecurities, it's almost like this, oh, really? Like, because you get so, like, you tunnel in on your own kind of worries and, you know, anxious thoughts that you forget that other people have similar things. And I think in comparison to guys, I don't have a great sample size, but in terms of, like, male versus female friends, and I don't know why, but I've played this game a lot with friends where, particularly when you're drunk, because that's when people's egos come out, but like gauge their own attractiveness.
And yeah.
In comparison, my male friends think they're far more attractive than like female counterparts. And I think for guys, sometimes unreasonably so. But that, again, that's my smallish sample size of friends. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because every guy has insecurities. Like, I have a million insecurities. Like, my baldness, my male pattern baldness, receding hairline, whatever you want to call it. Like, that's why I took the plunge and was like, fuck it, I'm just going to shave it. Because, like, it was really, for, like, several years, probably, like, 5 years, it's been, like, every time I leave the house, every time I have sex, especially when I go to have sex with a new girl, like, I would know that I have to take my hat or my beanie off. And that would be, like, a big hurdle that I'd have to, like, take a deep breath and go, like, all right, it comes off. And I would take it off before we had sex, like intentionally to see if she was okay with it before I took her into the bedroom. Like I would take it off on the couch and then hang out with her for like 5 more minutes and then like, okay, she hasn't left yet. So she hasn't screamed and run away, right? We all have insecurities is the point. Like girls, guys, everyone does. One of my mates, he's going to listen to this. I wonder if you know who I'm talking about. I don't think I would have told you this, or maybe I would have. And I don't think he'll mind me saying this. at least I hope he won't. He's very insecure. No, because we're talking about weird insecurities. So I think he'll be fine with this. He's insecure about his legs. Have I ever told? I haven't told you that.
No, I think you did tell me.
Okay, mate, I'm really sorry that I told my girlfriend about your insecurity about your legs. But I made it in the point of like, you know, in the context of like, look at the weird stuff that, and mate, you know that it's weird. You told me the first time you told me, you're like, I know this is weird, right? We have weird insecurities. Like another girl that you and I dated, I think you'll know who I mean. She was like hella insecure about her nose. And I would be like, your nose is fine. It's just a nose. Like it's, what's wrong with your nose? It's a nose, right?
It smells.
And it was like, it was one of her biggest insecurities. She told me like she was like going to get surgery to fix it. Like we all have these weird fucking insecurities. We're all imperfect. Your dick size is somewhat just an insecurity. Like even if you have a really small dick. And I understand, I'm not trying to say just like get over it and stop being insecure about it. Like I said, I was crazy insecure about my bald head. But I worked around it. Like, I built my body up. I got super lean. I went to the gym. I fixed my fashion. I did everything I could to make my appearance as good as it possibly could be, knowing that, like, okay, I have a receding hairline. That's definitely taking points off me. What can I do to maximize my strengths or to work on my, like, to change the things that I could change? And I guess I did change my hairline as well because I shaved it eventually. If you have a tiny cock, okay, this is a weird suggestion, but like shave your pubes. Literally shave your pubes because then it will look longer. Look at that. That's fucking like great advice there, right? You don't hear that in the mainstream. Shave your pubes so it's bald as fuck, like a little baby. Your little baby bald fucking area and your dick will stand out. Lose weight. That makes you, yeah. Like you reduce that padding, the fat padding around your dick. My dick looks bigger now that I am way leaner, like compared to when I was fat. I couldn't see my dick when I was fat. But not just that, like focus on the things that we talked about in the last podcast, like trying a bunch of like, not BDSM, but like dirty talking, trying different things, writing a sexual bucket list, buying one of the magic ones, the vibrators. If you don't want to buy that, like just try and experiment. And those things will kind of get around your small dick because your dick doesn't even matter at that point. And again, we're not even necessarily talking about small dicks. We're talking about just like, because he asked the question, do I need an 8-inch dick? No, you absolutely don't. But I also want to include guys that have a small cock and are very insecure about that. I get that. I would be insecure about that too. Of course I would be. Just like guys who are short, I understand that they're insecure about that. Just like I'm insecure about, I was even insecure about the fact that I'm white as hell. Like I'm really white. I've since gotten tanned, but for the longest time I was white as hell. I was insecure about that. I was insecure about my teeth. They're not 100% straight. Like that was a little point of insecurity about me. I used to have yellow teeth. I was insecure about that. I fixed that by, you know, that's fairly easy to fix with teeth whitening.
And I was just going to say on the topic of like confidence and insecurity, I think it's such an overused cliche, but like the whole fake it till you make it type thing. Like,
yes.
You can, like you said, like you have insecurity that comes up. I have insecurity that comes up constantly, but it's this, like if you focus on it and dwell on it and make it obvious that you're insecure, it makes it a million times. Like I think one of the biggest turnoffs is insecurity and self-consciousness because if you're weird about it, they're going to feel weird about it. They're going to feel like they have to console you, I think, for the most part. You're like, no, it's okay. And like that's not turning anybody on, like pity or sympathy. I think that that's probably one of the biggest things, just not being weird about even like owning it. And I understand that like, I guess this all stems from the topic of like dick size. And I get that that is like a big part of sex. And like when people think of sex, it is, yes, like penis goes in vagina. But like we, pointed out in the previous podcast, it's very much a case in which there are ways to work around it. And obviously there are bigger hurdles to kind of jump, but being okay with it and not making a big deal out of it, just owning it speaks a lot for itself.
Yeah. That ties into another article that I wrote. I think it was called something like don't compare your lay count to mine, or it might've been another article I wrote, which was, trying to remember what it was called. It was something along the lines of like, what to say when a girl asks how many girls you've slept with, something like that. I think it was that, it was that article. And I essentially said, your inexperience, like if you're a guy that's a virgin or something, or you've only had sex with like one or two girls, like that doesn't have to be a bad thing. If you are insecure about it, which is what you just said before, that's the bad thing. You being awkward about it or ashamed of it, that was the word that I used. If you're ashamed about it, yeah, that's going to be a huge turnoff. So if you have a tiny or a small dick, if you're ashamed about it, that's the turnoff. If you just kind of don't care, or maybe you care a little bit, but like you're working with what you've got, you know, you're trying a bunch of different foreplay, you know, you're willing to work around it. Like girls are going to be fine with that. Like, why would they give a shit? Like you can blow their mind without a big dick. But if you're sitting there going like, oh, I have a small dick, and you're almost apologetic for it, like you're ashamed or you're hoping she won't notice, or, you know, you want to have sex with the lights off or any of that stuff. That's the weird stuff that turns girls off, because now they're like, oh, he has a problem with it, so there must be something wrong. Like,
yeah.
People, and especially girls, will take their cues from you. And if you are fine with it and you act like it's not even a deal, why would she give a fuck? Like, and let's tie that back into my receding hairline. Like, I've had a few girls say like, oh, you're bald. And I'm just like, yeah, of course I'm bald. Like, yes, I know that. And they're like, oh, well, I guess I don't care. And a bigger point is age. Like, I've had a lot, because I'm 33 now, and like a lot of the girls that I've slept with are like 18 and shit. And quite a lot of them are like, you're really old, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I know. And then they're like, oh, okay, I guess that's not a big deal. Whereas I have a few clients who feel like guilty about their age and the fact that they want to chase 18-year-old girls and 19 and 20-year-old girls. And then girls will be like, oh, you're old. And they'll be like, yeah, but like, let me just explain. And it's like, the girls just get turned off by that, because you're making it weird. You're giving her the energy, and you're giving her the vibe and the impression, sorry, that there's something weird there. Like, yeah, I know it's weird, and let me just explain to you. Let me justify it to you. If you just go in there and say like, you have a small dick, so like, yeah, I'm kind of, if you even own your insecurity and you say like, yeah, I'm a bit insecure about it, she'll be like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. Like,
yeah. I mean, you touched on it, but I think there's a lot to be said about, like, this is probably going to make me sound like a bad feminist, but like, as a man.
Since when are you a fucking feminist?
When I first met you.
Yeah. And then I beat that out of you, like I said on the previous podcast.
like having a guy and that more dominant kind of directive energy, steering the conversation, steering the vibe. And I think not even just for women, but like for people generally, like it takes a certain level of like social ineptitude for someone to be taking the conversation in a completely different direction, like skimming over something, not mentioning it, and to be like, again, I wouldn't previously have said, like slightly autistic and being like, oh, but you missed this point, like for you to like not really care about, yeah, like for example, like balding, and then for like, for someone else to then come back to that point that you're not making a big, like for them to like need
yes.
to like.
Yeah, no girl is gonna, if you show that you don't care about your small dick or whatever the hell you're insecure about, she's not that gonna be like, no way, I know you just said you don't care, but like, let's like do a freaking Spanish Inquisition. Let me ask you 20 questions about why you have a small dick.
Yeah, like, it's almost like why you.
She'd have to be socially autistic or something.
Yeah.
Any more on that?
Yeah, no, it was just the point that if you just kind of take a little bit more control, and even if you kind of force it and pretend to be confident and not care.
Well, you don't even have to pretend to be confident. You just have to like stop being ashamed of it. Like, I think that's probably the first step. Mm-hmm. Just be okay with the fact you have a small dick.
Yeah. Or not even be, just move past it.
Accept like, you have a small dick.
Don't focus on it.
Yes. You can even be insecure about it and say, yeah, I'm insecure about my small dick. I literally admitted to like, God knows how many girls that I was insecure about my hair. And because you don't, it's almost like a meta sort of thing. It's like you're breaking the meta, so to speak. You're saying like, yeah, I am insecure about this. That's like a weird confidence. There's a weird confidence in saying I'm not confident. Like just admitting that and straight up just not pretending. I know you said like fake it till you make it, but I think it's better to just not, to just straight up say like, yeah, I have a small dick and I'm a bit weird about it. I feel a bit uncomfortable about it. And on that topic, you might, if you do have a smaller dick or something else that you're insecure about, you might find benefit. I certainly have in bringing it up with girls, like afterwards, like saying like, especially like when you're lying in bed together after you've just had sex and you're basking in that afterglow and you're both there cuddling and, you know, everything feels nice and you've just fucked each other's brains out. If you then say something like, yo, I want to keep it real with you. I'm a bit insecure about my dick. is there anything that you're insecure about? And then she'll be like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, I think my tits are small or I think I'm a bit chubby.
You wouldn't even, I don't even think you have to go that far, because I think as soon as one person opens up about your insecurities, like you say, like, oh, I was insecure about X, Y, Z, the next person will be like, oh, God, really? Like, I didn't even notice because I was, you know, I was really insecure.
You are mumbling a little bit. Enunciate your words a little more.
Enunciate my words.
There you go.
Yeah, there is. As soon as somebody shares their insecurity, I think there is that human reaction to empathize and to be like immediately say, oh, I was insecure about this. I didn't even notice yours. Like,
yeah.
I feel the same way and so on so.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So opening up is a good way to, because you kind of want to, if you're an inexperienced guy or like maybe you're experienced, but you just haven't had these conversations with girls or you haven't fully delved into how many girls have insecurities. Are girls insecure? Is it just me? Like, I get that these conversations might feel a little weird for you to just bring it up, but like force yourself to do it. Do it like once or twice with a girl that you're already seeing and, you know, you're already fairly comfortable with. Just ask her, like, what are you insecure about? And it's going to blow your goddamn mind. She'll give you a laundry list of things that she's insecure about. And you'll be like, wait, you're insecure about your nose or your ear? Like, girls have told me ears, like shoulders, like tits comes up all the time. Nipples comes up all the time. Like, my nipples are too small. They're too big. They're too pointy. They're too perky. They're too, like, puffy. Like, that, you've heard that. Mm. Girls say my nipples are too puffy. They're the wrong color. Like, just weird stuff like that. Yes. And on that point, so while you're having sex and you're sitting there going like, oh, she thinks my dick is too small or, you know, she thinks I'm inexperienced or whatever. She's there in her own head thinking like 50 things that you're not. Like, right? She's thinking like, oh, I hope he doesn't think my tits are small. What if he thinks I'm ugly? I hope he thinks that I smell nice. Like, you know, I hope I'm clean. I hope I do a good job pleasing him. I hope that, you know, I can, I hope I don't. I don't want to say slutty, but like some girls think like, I don't think he, I hope he doesn't think I'm like gross or dirty or something like that. You know what I mean?
Or too, almost too keen.
Yeah. Yep. That's a big one. Yeah. I don't want to look like too keen and too like whorish. Mm. And then some of them are like, I don't want to look too boring and vanilla and plain. Mm. Like girls have a million insecurities. And so while you're sitting there in your own head stressing like, you know, oh, she's going to think my dick is small. Like she's going through her own word of hell. And that's why I'm trying to encourage you to reach out at least after sex and say, like, is there anything you're insecure about? Because it will make you feel a lot better and it will make her feel a lot better knowing that, like, oh, we were both in our heads during a fair bit of that.
Yeah, and I was going to say that I think the more that you do that, the more you can actually both relax, both get out of your head and have more fun and enjoy it more and be more in the moment, because you're spending less of that time being neurotic and not actually focusing on your pleasure. Like,
yeah, you're not present while you're in your head worrying about your dick. Mm. I said this to someone else. You'll know who I don't think I would have told you who I said. Anyway, I said this to another guy who basically was talking about like this kind of topic. And he was like he's a guy who's had plenty of experience, but like that doesn't necessarily make you less insecure. He was insecure about, I can't remember what it was, but he said like essentially, I worry that she's had a better guy than me or a guy with a bigger dick or like something like that. And I said like, mate, she's there naked in your bed and all you can think about is some other guy's dick. Mm-hmm. Like, and the point that I'm trying to make there is when you're so in your head, it's like you're not paying attention to the actual moment. You're not in the moment. You're not enjoying it. How can you be enjoying sex if you're thinking like, oh, my dick is too small or, you know, my head is too bald? And I get it. I've been there. That has been me. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to give you steps that you can take to make that better. And having a conversation with the girl that you're sleeping with after you have sex and saying like, are you insecure about anything, or telling her what you're insecure about? Like, that is probably the best thing that you can do, because then, you know, do that with two or three girls or even just the one girl, have a few conversations like that. And you will quickly realize like, oh shit, everyone's insecure. It's not just me. I feel a little better. I don't feel so alone, because I think that's what guys do and girls do it too when they're insecure. You feel alone during sex, and that is the time that you should be feeling close to the person that you're having sex with.
Yeah, I think something that you kind of showed me once I started seeing you, because, I mean, initially when I first met you, I was very emotionally closed off in a very, in a very extreme way. Yeah,
very much so. It wasn't you and me on the same team. You were definitely in your own little world.
Yeah.
You weren't like present with me.
Yeah, no, not at all. And I think you touched on it before, but that point of that initially it'll feel, if you haven't done it before, feel very weird and very uncomfortable to talk about these things. But I think, and it's something that's kind of come with us seeing a lot of girls together as well, you kind of find out that people are really nice.
Yes. Yes. So I want to make it clear that when you bring this stuff up, you're going to find 99.99999% of women will be really fucking nice about your insecurities.
Yeah.
Like, and I know that goes against all the, not all of, but there's a lot of like advice in the like manosphere, if you want to call it that, or like the red pill and those kind of places where they say like, oh, you should never open up to women. Don't ever share your vulnerabilities because they'll immediately run away and be horrible to you and think less of you and go fuck some like alpha Chad with a big fucking 20-inch cock. It's like, no, that's not the real world. That's what some nerd on the internet has written. And I'm sorry to be so inflammatory, but those people, the people who write that stuff, generally speaking, have a very closed off worldview. I'm not going to take this on a big, long tangent, but, and everything they've been doing has been reinforcing that worldview and their confirmation biasing. And they generally speaking, don't have a lot of experience, et cetera, et cetera. So bringing up these insecurities, most girls will be really nice to you. You will find that it brings the two of you a lot closer. And the sex is a million times better afterwards because you're not there stressing, thinking, she's going to think my dick is small. Or she's going to find out that my dick is small. It's like, you've just literally said my dick is small. And she's gone, yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, well, I guess I don't have anything to worry about. Like, mm-hmm. It's all good. Do you want to tell me about your insecurities? Or would you rather me not put you on the spot like that?
No, I'm happy to talk about my insecurities. I think...
Just name... Okay, name like three. We don't have to go into a shitload of detail, but just say like three.
Three? My weight, the fact I... Because I have put on a bit of weight since lost and then put on since I met you.
Yep.
That's probably the biggest one and, yep. And came out a lot when I first met you.
Yep.
The other would be, it would probably be my tits. They're smaller than I would like them to be.
Which pretty much, let's be honest, like how many girls have you heard that from as well? Like, I think my tits are too small. How many girls have you heard say that?
Probably like, I'm going to say somewhere between 60 to 70% of my friends.
Yes. And all the girls I've slept with, I will say probably like 50 to 75% don't like their tits. Some girls, even with big tits, say, like, my tits are too big.
Yeah, no, my friends with big tits say, some of my friends.
And that's the point that, we're making. We're not saying that. I guess we're trying to normalize insecurities. We're trying to show that, like, everyone is insecure. All the girls that you're sleeping with, and by the way, this applies to hot chicks too. Like, the hottest girls that I have ever slept with have been some of the most insecure because a lot of their a lot of their, like, self-esteem comes from their looks. And they kind of inherently know, like, at some point I'm going to get old and my looks are going to fade. So they're always, like, paranoid, like, fuck, I have a pimple or, you know, my left ear isn't as big as my right ear. Just like male bodybuilders can develop that, like, bigorexia.
Yeah, just which is like body dysmorphia, yeah.
Yeah, body dysmorphia. They're like I told you about the friend that I had. We were sitting in a restaurant and he was talking about, like, one of his pecs was, like, 5% smaller than the other. And the other bodybuilder friend that I had, the Turkish one, I don't know if you know who I'm referring to, but like he in particular, like he was hella insecure. He's like, my left bicep is not as big as, and I was like, mate, like I can't, like get them both out, show me. And I was looking at him. I was like, they look the same to me, buddy. And he's like, nah, no way. Like this, everyone's judging this left bicep because it's not as big. Like some of the most attractive people are the least secure, like the most insecure. So when you're sitting there thinking like, oh, you know, this girl's way too hot for me or like, you know, my dick is small or whatever insecurity is like, I guarantee you she has like 50 insecurities that she's currently battling in her own head. So like do something nice, reach out to her, have a conversation about it. What are you insecure about? She'll tell you. And then like you can tell her this shit doesn't matter. Another benefit that we haven't even mentioned is when you make a girl more secure or you make her feel more intimate with you or you make her feel like she can trust you and open up to you and like she doesn't have to worry about her insecurities, the sex is like a million times better. Like you can never have I shouldn't say never, but it is like a lot harder to have mind-blowingly good sex with a girl who's like closed off and insecure and like, because do you think she's going to do like kinky, wild, sexual things with you if she's worrying about, like, you judging her or, you know.
Yeah, you just, you can't let go. You can't kind
you
of
can't let go. Yeah, yeah,
you can't
let go.
Like, that animalistic kind of just, like, passionate.
Yeah, because you're still in your head. You're holding back if you're worried about your insecurities. And so that's another point I want to make. If you're worried about your dick being too small or, you know, whatever you're insecure about, or you not knowing how to pleasure a woman or any of that sort of stuff, like, you really do have to learn to let that go. Listen to this podcast 50 times if you have to. I don't care what it takes. Like, do something to help yourself slowly let go of that. It will take time. It's a process. You won't just, like, immediately stop caring about whatever you're insecure about. But, like, if you can gently keep pushing forward and getting better and being less insecure, you will be able to let go as well. You will be able to just, like, fuck her brains out or, like, have sex with the lights on, whatever it is. Like, you will have better sex. You will then get better at sex, which will make you even more secure. That's why it's kind of a catch-22. If you're super insecure and inexperienced, like, it's very hard for me to just, it's not hard. It can be difficult for you to say, for me to say to you, like, oh, just, like, stop caring about it, bro. Just, like, do it. That's why I'm saying start small. Start with things like opening up to her about your insecurities or asking about hers. And, you know, just, like, it's a process. You won't get there in, like, one go. It took me, I don't know, I want to say like 6 months to a year before I started getting pretty secure with my body and my sex. And self-improvement obviously helps. If you're fat, lose weight. If you haven't been to the gym, start going to the gym. If you dress like shit, Google some, like, you don't have to dress amazing, but just, like, little improvements.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, just tiny little improvements will make you feel a little more secure and you won't be so worried about the things that, like your, I don't want to say flaws, but, like, your lesser strengths. There you go. That's a very positive way of saying it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess at least in my personal experience, and obviously my lived experience isn't the be all and end all, but.
Yeah. I don't speak for all girls. And at no point are we ever going to say, you know, we're going to do that stupid thing where you say, like, you know, as a woman, I can tell you all women. Just like I don't do the same for guys. I don't say, like, as a man, like, here's what you should do. Anyway, go on.
But yeah, no, I was going to say, like, I think my journey in terms of being a little bit more secure and kind of fighting those insecurities and at least even opening up about them. Like, where I first came from, which sounds terrible and I definitely don't advocate it in any respect, was that the only way that I could even manage my neurotic insecurities when it came to sex and being, like, vulnerable with another person was getting, like, horrifically drunk. It was...
Yeah, early on, yeah. Yeah, you had to drink a lot to even get over those insecurities. And we are not advocating that, by the way. Don't do that. That's, like, not dealing with the problem.
Not at all, because, like, getting inebriated was, like, literally the only way that I would be able to, like, manage all of the thoughts and feelings that came up. And I remember the first, because it was very quick into seeing you that you were like, you have to stop that, which was obviously an incredibly good decision. But the first couple of times it was very, very hard to relax or let go. Like, I was...
Yeah.
And it took a very long time to break that down, but over time now, like, it's not this big, scary, you know, horrific thing, and it's made it, yeah, a million times more enjoyable because if something's such a big deal that I have to get drunk to deal with it, that can only be so enjoyable. And then the getting drunk was almost like it... I was less... It kind of did a similar thing in which I was less present, but could simultaneously...
Yeah, like, you're not there in the moment.
Yeah, could simultaneously let go a bit more. Yeah. So it kind of helped and hindered, but yeah, just I can, I guess, through my lived experience, I can attest to the fact that being someone that was incredibly high strung and tense about everything when it came to sex, about insecurity, about vulnerability, and then letting go all of that, it's just like a world of difference in terms of what I get out of it and can enjoy about sex now.
Yeah. Because if you're a guy who's, you know, insecure about, like, I don't have an 8-inch dick or I don't know how to make a girl orgasm or any of that sort of stuff, like, whatever it is that you're insecure about or insecure about your body, like, I guess that's where we're going with this podcast and this episode and the previous one. We're trying to give you, little baby steps that you can take to slowly break that. It's almost like a habit of, like, neuroses or insecurity, especially if you have been like that every time you have sex. Like, if you're thinking every time you have sex, if you're thinking my dick is an 8 inches, therefore, you know, can I actually please a woman? You're reinforcing that, like, you know, that almost like a hopeless thought of, like, I'll never please a woman. I don't know where the fuck I was going with that. I had a good point and I lost it.
I mean, it almost sounds as if you're on the track of like, it becomes almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
100%. Yeah.
Where if you're constantly telling yourself every time you have sex, like, I'm not going to do a good job, I'm not going to be able to please her, you create that
situation. She's not going to like my small dick or my average size dick. Like, remember that the guy who asked this question, John, he specifically said, like, is an average size dick okay? So we're only talking about small dicks because obviously, like, if you have a small dick, I want to make it really clear that that doesn't matter. But, like, he's asking about average size dicks. It's like, mate, you have nothing to worry about if you've got an average size dick. Like, and maybe we've gone a little, like, I'm glad we did it, but, like, we've gone really deep on this. We've gone, like, you know, we're going to end up with, like, maybe 2 hours worth of content here. Like, if you have an average size dick, we could have answered that in half a second. Like, no, that doesn't matter at all.
Like, at all.
Like, at all. Yeah, yeah.
You kind of start.
Why would that? I have a slightly above average dick.
Yeah, no, you basically start from a neutral and all you can do is go up at that point.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I want to talk about, like, insecurities and, like, sharing them. Because all the stuff that I talk about, like, a lot of – I wrote this in an article I wrote called Proof, where I talked about, like, a lot of experts on the internet and you know, in magazines and that sort of shit. They'll write all this theoretical stuff and of what you should do. They'll give you a prescription of what you should do, but they're not necessarily doing it themselves, or they have no proof that they do it themselves. All of the stuff that I'm recommending here, like opening up to girls and telling them that you're insecure and not caring about your insecurities as much or working on them, like, this is all stuff that I've done myself. I would never tell you to do something that I haven't done myself. And almost every girl, not every, but, like, let's say, like, at least 75% of girls that I've slept with, I've told my insecurities to, especially if we see each other, like, you know, at least 2 or 3 times. 100% I'm telling them my insecurities at that point. Of course I would. I even have an article I wrote, well, you wrote, called Immy's Thoughts on Being Alpha. I'll put a link in the show notes to it. That was that one that you wrote where you said, essentially, Andy opens up about all of his insecurities to me. He tells me he's, like, you know, his sad thoughts, his dark thoughts, the things he's stressed about. And, like, the point that you essentially made was, it's made me closer to him and it's made me respect him more, not less.
Yeah, absolutely. I think because of the way that you approach it, it's not this hopeless, pathetic, like, I'm a victim, I don't know what to do. It's like, I have this thought, here's my plan, I'm going to overcome it. And then watching you then follow through with that, of course it makes me respect you more, because you're literally, like, overcoming a hurdle. Like, that's legitimate, like, bravery or success. It's overcoming a challenge, not going through life not being met with challenges. It's, yeah, obviously, again, these are two polar opposites, but if you... It's a very different situation if you know, you're hopeless and sad and miserable and you're just having a whinge, opposed to, I have this insecurity, I'm, like, moving past it or working on it or improving myself in another way or just admitting it and, like, being okay, like, literally just being okay with it, not being, you know, sad. It's, like, pathetic little, like, I don't know. There's a very visceral, I think it's, pathetic is the very, like, visceral word that comes from it. Like, this, I think you use the word sometimes, like, wretched, I think.
Wretched is my favorite word, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so to give more context and clarify what we're talking about, like, when I say open up to girls about your insecurities, I want to make it clear again, we're not talking about being ashamed. We're not talking about, you know, as you just said, being pathetic. We're not, like, don't sit there and go, like, oh, I have a small dick, no girl likes me, you probably won't like me either. That's pathetic. That's disgusting. That really is wretched. Wretched is the correct word for that. We're talking about being somewhat okay with it. Or if you're not okay with it, be okay with the fact you're not okay with it. You know, just say, like, I'm a bit insecure about my dick. I feel kind of weird even bringing it up to you. Like, what are you insecure about? Like, just having a fucking normal conversation about that shit rather than, like, oh my God, you're going to think I'm so gross if I bring... Like, it's that feeling of, like, shame and patheticness inside of you. That's what we're saying. Don't have that. If you have that, there is a million things that you can do to overcome that. But the first one is just sitting down, writing a big list and saying, like, what is wrong with having a small dick? Like seriously, just grab a piece of paper, write all this down and say, like, or maybe you could rephrase it as, does having a small dick mean that I can't satisfy women? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, draw a column where you have yes and a column where you have no. Write down all the reasons why yes, having a small dick means I could never please a woman. Then write down all the reasons why no, of course, having a small dick doesn't mean I could never please a woman. Write those whole lists and then focus on everything in the no column. Like, give yourself, even if you have to kind of make some of them up and, like, really stretch for the truth of like, come up with a bunch of reasons why it doesn't matter that you have a small dick and use those reasons to brainwash yourself. And yes, literally brainwash yourself into not caring so much, or at least starting down the path of accepting it and being slightly okay with it. And then the next week you can be a little more okay with it. And then in future, a little more okay with it. And eventually maybe you will get to a point where you're like, yeah, I'm a little insecure about my small dick, but like, who gives a shit? Like, it's fine. Like, I know there's other qualities I have, or if there isn't other qualities you have, I know that I'm working on getting those qualities. Like, I'm going to the gym. I'm losing weight. I'm learning how to meet women. I'm learning how to be better at sex. I'm working on my business. Whatever the hell it is, be working on something. You should always obviously be working on something. You should be going somewhere and improving every day. Be a little better than you were the day before. But like, learn to slowly be okay with your flaws and your small dick or whatever it is, and just accept that that is part of you. And on that note, there's an author whose work I love, Mark Manson. And he has an article, I can't remember what it's called, where he basically says, you get to a point, the older you get to a point where you kind of just accept your flaws. And that doesn't mean you're not working on them. You are. That doesn't mean you're not improving them. You are. But you kind of just accept that maybe you will never be the guy with a massive dick, for instance. Or maybe you will never be the super athletic guy who can, you know, sprint down the hill and climb a tree. And or like, maybe that just will never be you. Maybe the level of effort it would take to become that person is just so monumental that it would take you 10 years to get there. And the cost benefit just doesn't really weigh up. Like, you're not really going to get a lot from doing that. That definitely applies to me. There's a lot of things that I've kind of just accepted that I'm like, yeah, I will probably never be this, or I will never, or maybe I don't want this. And a dick size is a perfect one, because that's probably something that you're not really going to change. Like, you can improve it a little bit, but you know, if you're a 4-incher, you're not going to be like a 12-incher. That's probably impossible, right? Like, I don't know how you do that, because all the surgery in the world can't add 8 inches to your dick. And the level of effort it would take you to get there is probably better spent maximizing your strengths. Like, we have a limited time on this earth. You want to kind of, you're not always going to be super efficient and productive, but you want to be spending your time relatively productively. If you're sitting there, if it takes you 5 years to put 1 inch on your dick, was that really worth it? When you could have spent 3 months learning some BDSM, another 3 months starting to go to the gym, and maybe you take like 2 years to become really buff and huge and muscular, and girls just fall over themselves. 3 years to build up a business and become rich. And then because you're now rich, you're wearing suits and you have a Lamborghini and you look cool, and girls are like, wow, fuck this guy. And you don't have to be like spending money on them or something, but just the fact you have money is attractive. Like, your time is much better spent maximizing the things that you can maximize that will pay off the bigger dividends in much less time, versus stressing about the stuff that you kind of can't really change. And I want to tie this into my were you going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, on the topic of focusing on the things that you can't change, I think that breeds a sense of, like,
Hopelessness
and helplessness. Like, there's nothing I can do. Like,
I will never get laid. Victim. I'll never be successful.
I'm stuck here. And it just, again, it comes back to that kind of giving off that vibe of being pathetic. Like, it's just like,
you're reinforcing that, like, loser mentality. Mm-hmm. Again, we're not saying, I want to make it really clear, I'm not saying give up. I'm not saying just, you know, you can't improve certain things bad, like you just have to accept them. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you have a limited amount of time you can put into your different self-improvement projects. Maybe this is a better way of saying it. Focus on the things that will pay off the bigger dividends the quickest. Like, focus on the things that you can get the biggest payoff now. And then in 5 years, maybe you go like, all right, like, how do I work on my dick? Like, you know, like, right now, like I said, you could spend 3 months and fix, you could spend 3 months and become elite at BDSM. And that's just going to instantly make you a sex god. Like, instantly, even with a tiny 2-inch dick, you could be a sex god if you were just like elite at BDSM. So focus on shit like that and then worry about your dick later. Cause I want to tie this into like my baldness. Like, I stressed for like years about my receding hairline, and like, I spent so much time and energy researching, like, how do I get a hair transplant? Fuck, in Australia, it's probably going to cost like $25,000 to do that. I'm going to have to get multiple surgeries because my hairline is like really, it's like very far, far gone. should I like get a decent hairstyle that can cover it up? And I tried like 20 different hairstyles and I had 20 different hair products. And like, I thought about like getting a wig. I had those like hair fiber things that you put in your hair to cover it up. Like I spent so much time and energy on this shit. And like, I probably made my hair like 5% better. Like I probably improved it by 5%. And the amount of energy and cost and neuroses and insecurity, that far outweighed the benefits. The second I said, you know what? I fucking quit. Like I fucking quit my hair. I'm just going to shave it. I'm going to be bald forever. Like that was like, that took me like maybe, I've spent probably like 3 hours learning how to get my hair, my head bald, right? Okay, maybe more than that. Let's say I've spent like 10 hours researching how you have a bald head, how you keep it nice and like smooth, you know, that's it. And now I'm not insecure. I'm quite happy. You can't tell, but I've literally just took my beanie off and now I'm going to put it back on because it's fucking cold out here. It's like winter here. Like I don't give a shit now. Like I just don't wear a beanie. In summer, I don't want to wear a beanie. I'd just rather have my head free because it feels nicer. Like all the insecurity has just instantly been erased. Whereas I could have spent all this time where I did spend for years stressing about my bald fucking head and my receding fucking hairline and girls thinking I'm an old man. And, you know, I did look like an old man. Like, how is that worth it? So focus on the things that will give you the biggest payoff now, maximize your strengths, and just focus on having fun with girls. Like, maybe we should tie it back into that. Like, as I said in the previous episode, sex is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be you having sex with a girl, having a bit of fun, trying some stuff. She tries some stuff together. You're coming together. It's intimate. Don't stress so much about jumping through these hoops and like, how do I please a woman? You know, how do I blow her mind?
Yeah, it's not meant to be it's not meant to be a test.
It's not a fucking test. She's not going to grade you at the end of it.
You're meant to be having a nice time. Sex is meant to be a fun thing. And I think it's built into this giant hill that you need to like climb, like this battle that like very few people win. It's meant to be fun. It's meant to be this fun thing that you enjoy and that it's, you know, it's light and enjoyable and it's not meant to, you know, take up that much of your mental energy. It's meant to be this like physical, visceral.
It's supposed
release.
To be the reward. Like you put all this effort into getting laid. Or, you know, if that's not your goal, you put in this effort to meeting one girl and having a girlfriend and that. And, like, and then you come time to have sex and, like, you're not enjoying the reward because you're stressed. It's like work again. You're, like, stressed, like, oh, fuck, like, you know, what's she going to think of my dick? Like, just learn to relax, learn to let go, and let that be your fucking reward. You put in a lot of effort to get here. I'm assuming a girl didn't just fall out of the sky onto your dick. If she did, like, congratulations, that's cool. That's never happened to me ever. No, that's not true. I've had like a couple of girls hit on me, but it's like three ever. And that's maybe easier said than done for I get that, you know, especially it's easier said for you to just like you as a woman to say like, oh, like, you know, just relax and enjoy sex. Like, cause you know, obviously you have your own insecurities. So do girls, but like it's guys that have to like perform. They feel like they have to perform. And you do, generally speaking, have to take the lead, yes. But I think the issue comes from, and let's not take too long because we'll kind of wrap it up around the 1 hour mark. And I think I know where this shit comes from. It comes from like mainstream media, just mainstream idea that like men have to perform. And that is kind of our burden as men. Yes, we do have to perform. Yes, we don't just get to exist and be valuable. You have to do shit. There's that saying that women are human beings and men are human doings. And that's obviously absolutely true. But like, it's different during sex. Like, I get that there is a performative aspect to it. Like, I'm technically performing when I do BDSM, when I do, like, I am to some degree doing something. I'm not just lying there and letting the pleasure happen. I am doing stuff. But rein that in a little bit. Like, don't feel like it's 100% you doing stuff and performing. Maybe it's 30% you doing stuff and then 70% just enjoying it. Like, relaxing, having a bit of fun, trying some different things, experimenting, taking away that pressure to perform, which, like I said in the previous one, you can literally just say to her, like, I'm not going to have sex. We're not going to have sex. Or, you know, you have to earn my dick or like however you want to phrase it. Like, take that pressure off and just fucking relax and have some fun.
Yeah. And I think on the topic of you saying like it's not doing, like you're not doing things to each other, I think also phrasing it more as if you're sharing it. You're like,
yeah, you're coming together and sharing something.
that also kind of adds to that element of like, this is a nice, enjoyable thing. You're not two people doing things to each other and like trading favors or playing, you know, like tit for tat.
I'm glad you said that. That's a good way of framing it. Think of it as like sex is something that's going to happen between the two of us. Like sex is its own tangible object or its own tangible thing. It's like an event. And we are both two participants in that. We are both two people who happen to be coming to this event called sex. We could have just like said the whole podcast in that one sentence, right? Yeah. So instead of you doing something to her to please her, it is sex is the event. Do you want to come? And she's like, yeah, I'll come along. And you're like, cool, I'll come too. Let's see what happens. Let's go have sex. Let's have this event.
I very much like that analogy. It's not this.
That's fucking,
like,
I'm amazing.
Someone's the organizer.
Let's end the podcast there because anything, you know, you should be concise and cut it off, which is not something that I'm good at. So we'll end it there because I think that's an important point. Let's do a quick takeaway, like a quick summary. I don't want to summarize everything we said in all the episodes. Both these episodes. But essentially, don't stress so much about dick size. Don't stress so much about orgasms.
Make do with what you've got.
Make do with what you got and maximize your strengths. Cheat if you need to, like things like a magic wand or BDSM or sexual bucket list for sure. And sex isn't something that you're doing to her. Pleasure isn't something that you're doing to her. Sex is an event. You both come together. You have a bit of fun. She's invited along. You're invited along. And you just kind of see what happens. If you're not good at it, that doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter, especially not the first time you have sex with a girl. She doesn't expect you to be good. I'm usually like decent the first time, but like there's plenty of times where the first time I'm like, that wasn't that good. I didn't do a good job. She doesn't care. She doesn't expect it to be good because she's nervous. You're nervous. Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think that was, again, a very good summary at the start and a nice wrap up at the end.
Yeah. We're becoming podcast experts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is only episode like five. Four.
4.2.
4.
Okay.
All right. Adios, guys. I love you very much. We don't have an outro to this. I just want to say hugs and kisses to all of you. You're all beautiful people. And you all deserve happiness and love and joy and all that hippie, like, gay shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, all the good stuff.
Yeah.